Can the Lord's help our little time this evening? We turn to the portion of His Word which we read together, the Gospel of Christ according to Matthew, chapter 3. And we read again at verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now these verses deserve our closest attention because they describe the ministry of John the Baptist, who was our Lord's forerunner, whose preaching is described here. Now, few ministers ever produced such an effect as did John the Baptist. His preaching attracted through the attention of the Jewish people. He was, in his day, he was what we would call, he was a sensation. He aroused so much excitement. Throughout the whole of Palestine, a great multitude went to hear him. We read there he was so popular, we read in verse 5, that there went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. So great was the attraction and the crowds that the Sanhedrin itself, if you could put this, the General Assembly of the Jewish people, the Jewish religious people, they were obliged to inquire concerning him. So they sent men asking, "Who art thou?" And they were to report back on what they had discovered. If ever there was a man who was a popular preacher, it was John the Baptist. And yet we are reminded that little dependence is to be placed on popularity, even for John. It was only for a season, that was all. And of all the crowds who came to his baptism and to hear him preaching, the question is, how few of these were converted? And more solemn, how many of them reached heaven at last. Now some, oh some, no doubt like Andrew, were guided by John to Christ. But it seems that the vast majority died in their sins. And so we have there a reminder to ourselves. When we see a great congregation, and that indeed can be a very pleasing sight, but we should also have the solemn thought, how many of these people will at last reach heaven? It is a reminder to us that it is not enough to hear popular preaching. It's not enough to admire popular ministers. It is no proof of our conversion that we worship in a place where there is a great crowd. Let us take care above all else that it is Christ's voice that we hear, and that it is Christ whom we follow. As we read there at the end of that chapter, what God said, "This is my beloved Son." Now, however important for John the Baptist and for us also, more important than his popularity was this, that we are told elsewhere by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself of the greatness of John the Baptist. The great head of the church described John as a burning and a shining light, even if it was only for a season. He even said of John that among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now, because of that testimony that Jesus himself gave regarding John the Baptist, it's beneficial for ourselves to consider some of these, at least one or two of the features of his ministry, as we have in the context of that chapter and that verse. So we notice then, first of all, that John preached concerning repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, John the Baptist taught the absolute necessity of repentance before anyone can be saved. And more, he preached that that repentance must be proved by its fruits. As he says in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. He taught that they were not to depend on outward privileges of the church or on any externals or outward union with the church. There was no point, he told them, in saying that they had Abraham as their father. God is able to raise from these very stones children. And that teaching is needed just as surely today. Because by nature we are dead, blind to spiritual matters. We are ready to content ourselves with a mere form of religion. Perhaps we flatter ourselves that if we go to church, we shall be all right at last. For some it seems that even coming to church, they are doing God himself a favor. But we need to be told, as John told his congregation, to repent. Because another, even Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And we should take that to heart. But then again, we notice carefully that no repentance can make atonement for sin. No repentance can purchase our pardon. The blood of Christ alone and nothing else can wash away the sins of our soul. And his death is for our atonement. No quantity of repentance can ever justify us before God. We are announced righteous before God for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, not by works. And that includes repentance. As one of old said, that even the tears of our repentance need to be washed in the blood of Christ. And yet we notice just as carefully that as we say that we also say that without repentance no soul can be saved. We must repent of our sins. We must mourn over them. We must forsake them, or else we shall never enter the kingdom of God. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So that saving faith and repentance go together. Saved souls are always penitent souls. So the question for ourselves, have we been convinced and convicted of our sins? Have we ourselves repented? Because it seems to be a missing element in much of today's preaching. Have we ourselves repented? Do we know anything about the hatred for sin? Can I say, there are a lot of people that can say very easily, I believe. Yes, I believe. But can I say also, I repent? Can I say, I repent? As easy as I say, I believe. Now, John preached repentance, and on that point, we have to be careful not to be deceiving ourselves. For it is written in God's word, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But you notice also that John the Baptist preached concerning Christ. Now, John taught plainly about our Lord Jesus Christ. He said there, one mightier than myself, He was coming among them. He himself was nothing more than a servant. The coming one was king. He himself could only baptize with water, but Christ could baptize with the Holy Spirit, take away his sins, and one day he would judge the world. He would gather, as we read in verse 12, he would gather the wheat into his garner, and he would burn the chaff. Now, we need the same teaching today. We need, above all, to be directed to Christ, because we are prone to stop short of that. Faith in Christ. We want to rest in our union with the church or with our regular attendance upon the means of grace, and these things are good in themselves. We are prone to rest in our diligence in being in God's house, or having parents like the Jews there who said they had Abraham for their father, parents and godly relatives. But John directs people to the Lord, and he says regarding him, one mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He declines flattery, titles, speaks of himself as nothing more than a voice crying in the wilderness. He claims honor not for himself, but for his Savior. To exalt Christ was his mission, and to that mission he remained faithful and steadfast to the very end. Now, the Jews professed they waited for Christ the Messiah. They prided themselves in being the children of Abraham. They rested on the law. They made their boast of God. They professed to know his will and to know his promises. And they were utterly confident in their own light. And yet at that moment, they were in absolute darkness. There was one standing among them, one whom they knew not, even Christ the Savior. Jesus was in their midst, but they knew him not. They saw him not. They didn't acknowledge him. Nor did they receive him, nor did they believe in him, nor did they trust him. As it was in John the Baptist's day, so it is today. Jesus is passing by, and many who know not, or see not, or believe not. He is in passing by in many congregations where the blessed gospel of the Lord is preached. And many there are who have not an eye to see nor an ear to hear. The spirit of slumber, a dreadful spirit of slumber, seems to settle so deep upon many people today. A terrible spirit of slumber. Pleasure they know, the world they know, money they know, work they know. And as we saw not so long ago, sport they know, music they know, but they know not Christ. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, but they sleep on. Salvation is within their grasp, but they sleep on. Mercy, grace, peace, eternal life. Heaven is so close that they almost touch it. And they sleep on a slumber of death. And yet, like John, the principal work of every faithful minister of the gospel is to exalt Christ before the people, to plead that they put their trust in Christ, to show that in him alone is mercy and pardon and peace and grace and life, and that each one of us must have personal dealings with Christ about our own soul, faith. Oh, it will profit us nothing at the last day. If we belong to any church, whether it was a Lutheran, Calvinist, Baptist, free church continuing, with no difference, it will not profit us even if we have Abraham's blood in our veins unless if we do not have Abraham's faith in our heart. Oh, let us begin again within. Asking yourselves, have we felt our need of Christ? Have we fled to him for refuge? What do we get from him? In other words, what think ye of Christ? Oh, so much depends upon our answer. John set before them the need of faith in Christ. He said, one mightier than I. But then he also preached about the Holy Spirit. He told them that there was a special baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that it was Christ who would give that special baptism to them. He set before them the work of the Holy Spirit, and their need to be born again, to be baptized inwardly by his grace. The Spirit of life is Christ's special gift to his church, and conveys from him as from the root, the sap and the sustenance to all the believing branches. Now we need the same teaching today, if ever. We need to know the forgiveness of sins, but we also need to know the necessity for the heart to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, there must be not only the work of Christ for us, but there must be the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Or put another way, there must not only be a title to heaven purchased by the blood of Christ, but there must be preparedness for heaven wrought in us by the Holy Spirit of Christ. Now, the baptism of water is a great privilege, a very great privilege, but this is the one that we should seek. This is the one that we should seek and that we have, whatever else we have. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Again, we begin within, asking yourselves, what think ye of the Holy Spirit? Has he renewed our hearts? Has he made us partakers of the divine nature? And remember, life and death, eternity, depends upon our answer. The apostle said, any man that has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Any man who has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So firstly, surely here there is a warning. No, I know that men love to be told of peace. They love to be told smooth things, not of danger, not of wrath to come and will be to come. But we have need to be told this is not a light matter, whether we repent or whether we repent not. That is not something light. We need to be told of heaven as well as hell. Of hell as well as heaven. We need to be told that it is possible for a man to be lost as well as saved. Now to be silent on these grave things is to foster in the mind of people the old delusion. The delusion of the devil who said, ye shall not surely die. Now the religion that does not set the danger of a lost eternity before men is not the religion of John the Baptist, nor of Jesus Christ, nor of his apostles. For a minister to be silent is only a reminder, it's only treacherous to your soul and not love to your soul. But remember that love and mercy of God, that we also have to remember and not forget that God is holy and just as well. In our present climate, we hear much of unity and peace and love based on the love of God to all. Now, a favourite expression that you hear is God loves you. And that is used indiscriminately to all people. And that sounds good. But is that according to the Bible? For example, who are the objects of the Father's love? Can the words of John 16, verse 27 be addressed to all that says this? Can it be addressed to all indiscriminately? The Father himself loveth you. Loveth you. Why? Because ye have loved me. Surely everyone that here would agree that conscience would judge that such an assertion would be false. Can God love those who despise his Son? Can any man, can he love those who despise and neglect his Son? Does not even the Apostle Paul say, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, not another. Does Jesus himself not say expressly, if God were your Father, ye would love me? Christ says, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Oh, the need to repent of our ingratitude and unbelief, and to live by faith in the Son of God. Delight yourselves in him now, that we may be made to enjoy him in a better world. I think I'm right in saying it was General Booth of the Salvation Army who stated in his opinion that chief dangers that were going to come would be a religion without the Holy Spirit, a Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, and heaven without hell. Looking at our general situation, how far off are we from that? Nevertheless, the Lord's people, they need encouragement. Those who do believe need encouragement. We live in a wicked world. We are often tempted by the devil. We may be cast down at times and discouraged. But we need often to remind ourselves that Jesus will never leave us, nor forsake us. He will guide them, his own people, safely through 1,000 dangers in this life. And he will bring them at last to be with him in glory. Now notice, in the day in which the chaff, as we read there in verse 12, shall be burned, they shall be garnered. They are as safe, they shall be as safe in that day as Noah was inside the ark. In fact, day to day, they are as safe as they can be if they are in Christ. I said at the beginning, these are some of the main things that John the Baptist preached. It would be beneficial to all if we knew more about them today. Now, John's preaching, in his preaching, there were great principles of truth. But remember that Christ alone, who supplies all the spiritual needs of all believers, it is written that out of his fullness that we have received, and grace for grace. For there is an infinite fullness in Christ, as the Apostle Paul put it. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In other words, there is laid up with him an inexhaustible supply for all that any sinner needs, of time and for eternity. Oh, remember that it is in Christ we have light put on a great mystery. That is how God can be just and the justifier of the ungodly. Oh, we should place our souls confidently in the hands of our Saviour and honour him. Like the apostle said, I know whom I have believed, not what I have believed, but whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We can place our immortal soul with confidence in his hands. Now we may err in many aspects of the Trinity if we do not keep close to the Bible, because we understand, whatever we may think, we understand so little of it, that we can never err in giving too much honour to Christ. Nor can we ever think too highly of him. Nor can we ever love him too much. He is the safe meeting place between God and the soul. We are accepted in the beloved. So we have then something here of one who was very popular for a season, only for a season, that was all. But John preached, John the Baptist preached on repentance and need of repentance. And I say again, repentance cannot atone for our sin. And yet there must be repentance, or there is no salvation. Faith and repentance are tied and go together. John was only a voice in the wilderness. He was pointing sinners to Christ. And I say again, do not stop short of Christ. Today Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Who knows? Will he pass by here again for you? Who knows? John preached then on the need of inward baptism, the need of a new birth, the need of being born again. And this is the need of work for us, but also the need of work in us. It's a place that he has gone to prepare for his people, but he is also preparing his people for that place. Question for ourselves, have we experienced that baptism? And I say again, it is not smooth talk that we need. Although people love to hear of peace, peace, that is not what we need, but truth. We never, ever, ever give up the truth. Move away one iota from the truth. But we have this encouragement that we are safe in Christ. If we are in him, we shall be safe in time and in eternity. That is, as I said, the safe meeting place between Christ and the soul. We are accepted in the beloved. And to that end, may the Lord bless to us these thoughts.